okay, I want to sit down here with my brothers online, brothers and sisters online. I want to bring a teaching. This came up actually from another brother saying something, and so I have to give him credit for giving me the idea. It's called right-hand theology. We're going to talk about right-hand theology. It could have been called right theology, but we're calling it right-hand theology. In our brotherhood, we all greet each other, women with women, men with men, with a hug. We consider it like the holy hug. Back then, they did the holy kiss. We don't believe that that is a absolute command, but a greeting of love and fervent love for each other is what's called for. So the brothers all hug each other when they see each other. And one of the brothers one day said, hey, how about a right hand of fellowship to my sister? And so that's what men and women can do towards each other, is they give each other the right hand of fellowship as a greeting. So we kind of practice that. And it got me started thinking about the right hand. And so in scripture, if you study this, maybe you have, maybe you never read this, I don't know. The right hand really has a pretty big importance, and it's mentioned quite a bit. There's many archetypes to take note of in both the Old and New Testament. And I'm going to read a verse that is kind of my main verse for this study, but then I'm going to go to some other ones as well on this teaching on right-hand theology. The verse I'll kind of hinge off of, based upon what that brother said with his sister, Galatians 2:9. And when James, Caiaphas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that the grace was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So they were signified that they were united with these men by the right hand of fellowship. Now, as I said, the right hand has importance in God's word. It actually appeared a lot more than I thought. I'm not really a numbers guy at all. I hate math, but I like numbers when it comes to looking at words in the Bible. It kind of tells us a lot of things. 834 times the word right is brought up in the scriptures, and the word left appears like 340 times. So whatever that means, right hand comes up a lot more. And right, the word right is a key word for one of the biggest reasons. Ready? What do we all need to enter into eternal life? Righteousness. And Jesus said our righteousness, has the word right in there, to gain eternal life must pass that of the Pharisees. And so that word right is right in righteousness. We'll talk about what it means here in a bit. Genesis 15:6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it for him as righteousness. There's that word right. Right and righteousness. Good, holy, justice, pleasing to God. I always tell people when they say, well, what is righteousness? It's that which is right to God. It's what God approves of. It's his standard. It's his doctrines. It's his character, his nature for his people. It's what he wants us to do. That's what right and righteousness is. And in this verse, Exodus 15:6, God himself acted from his right hand of power, not his left hand. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. So you see the right hand a lot exampled by or for our Lord. Exodus 15:26, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, hey, faith and works, you see that? And will give ear to his commandments, there's something to do, and keep all his statutes, more to do. We always talk about God's word and promises and covenants are always conditional, not unconditional. He says, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heal thee. So it's interesting when we talk about this word right, yashar, upright, straight, righteousness, pleasing unto God. So it's a right way that his people should be following, not the left. It's a right way. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. We divide rightly, not to the left, just more significance to the right word. And that word dividing means to cut straight. So we cut it straight. And I like that word. Talks about ortho, like a doctor fixing your feet or a dentist fixing real crooked teeth. Cut the word of God straight. So this word right goes on and appears all over in Scripture. And it has, again, as I said, real meaning and archetypes to it. The right hand or right parts on a person. Check this out. Leviticus 14:25. This is when the Levitical law and the under Torah law was being given. These are all specific by God himself. Leviticus 14:25. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it upon the tip of his right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. You could probably do a whole study on what exactly it all means, but because we know God works from the right hand of God, the power of God is in the right, the blood is going to the right of this man. Yeah, there is some things he did on the left side, if you keep reading through the Levitical law, but a lot of it, most of it was to the right side. Deuteronomy 33:2. And he said, the Lord came down from Sinai and rose up unto Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints from his right hand, went a fiery law for them. Not from his left hand, it came from his right hand. More significance about the right hand of God, that which is right, and God is fully righteous. Job 40:14. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. Well, that's kind of an archetype of Christ, because later we'll read Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Christ is our salvation. Yeshua means salvation. The right hand saves. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. I think that's beautiful. Psalm 17:7. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou shalt save it by the right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against thee. Against them. So there's the right hand again. The saving is in the right hand, not the left. Psalm 89:13. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. This is talking about the right hand of God. How about this one from what was the wisest man that ever lived? Ecclesiastes 10:2. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Interesting. Making a contrast between the right and the left, we're going to see our master make a contrast between sheep and goats in a verse that's coming up here, from the right to the left. As we talked about, righteousness is very, very key in all of Scripture. It's on the right. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, though, for I am thee with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness. We need righteousness. It comes from the right hand of God. Isaiah 63:12. That led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name. So, not getting mystical about the right hand or anything like that, but you see the significance. The right hand keeps coming up often, often, often. We're going to read more verses here. Satan, he must know about the right hand. Why would I say that? There's a couple verses, or one verse I'll read from Revelation, but this one right here, Zechariah 3:1. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Interesting where Satan stood. In the New Testament, it continues. In fact, it's probably more enhanced even in the New Testament. Jesus mentions the right hand, not the left. Matthew 5:30. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. And so he mentions that. Matthew 22:44. And the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Righteousness is at the right hand of God. The power is at the right hand of God. Here he says, sit on my right hand. Matthew 26:64. Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Well, we know that Christ sits at the right hand of God. So he's sitting at the right hand of power. He is righteousness. He's salvation. I read you those verses. It all comes from the right side of God, the right hand of God, which is the righteousness of God. And here's a verse where Jesus talks about, or this verse, excuse me, Mark 16:19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. This is regarding Jesus. And he sat on the right hand of God. So that's where I want to be. I want to be in the right hand of God where Christ is. I don't want to be on the left hand. We'll find out who's going to the left. Luke 22:69. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand, the power of God. Keeps coming up. The right hand, the right theology, it's righteousness. Luke 1:6 and verse 11. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. And they appeared unto him, an angel of the Lord, saying, on the right side of the altar of the incense. Just another mention, another kind of archetype of right. And here's the verse I was talking about, Jesus separating sheep and goats. Which side do you want to be on, saints? Matthew 25:32-33. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall say, set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats go to the left. I want to go to the right hand. I want to be one of the sheep of God. I hope that's your desire too. Luke 7:43. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom ye forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. You notice we don't judge leftly. We judge rightly. It's another significance. We're on the right side of God. We're on the righteousness of God. So we judge rightly. And here's a verse, kind of a smaller matter, but John 21:6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. It's just interesting. It was on the right side, not the left side. I don't know. You could study scripture. There may be some things done on the left side, but I'm looking at the right side here, and I found it was interesting. Here's a verse, Acts 2:25. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I shall not be moved. So the power, the righteousness, the standing, the authority, the glory is always at the right hand of the Father. It appears in the scriptures that we're talking about. Acts 5:31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. The right hand of God. Very, very powerful, important stuff. Acts 7:55 about Stephen. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing where? At the right hand of God. This is the right is always significance of authority, power, acceptance, righteousness, salvation. It's always to the right where Jesus sits with the Father. I think that's really pertinent and interesting. Here, Paul mentions something, Acts 13:10, and he said, oh, all full of subtlety and all full of mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Not the left ways. It's always perverting the right way of the Lord, because the Lord is on the power side of right, righteousness. How about this verse for all you parents out there? Children obeying. Is it on the left or the right? Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, not left. It's on the right. And this verse from Hebrews, one of my favorite books, Hebrews, where Christ reigns again, Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Remember, power comes from the right side. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I love that. That's just so poetic, so beautiful, so powerful. What a promise of God that he did everything he could for us and he sat down in the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews is full of a lot of very important verses like that for our cleansing, our salvation. Hebrews 10:12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Not the left. He sat down at the right. How about 2 Peter 2:15? Which have forsaken the right way, not the left way, and gone astray, following after Balaam and the sons of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. So if you go to the left, it seems to be unrighteous. You go to the right, it's towards the right hand, the authority, the salvation, the power of God. Now we're going to move into the book of Revelation. There's a whole bunch in there. I pulled out a few. Revelation 1:16. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp sword, two-edged, and his countenance was as the sun, shining in his strength. We're going to be studying the book of Revelation verse by verse. We're going to be starting that real soon. Revelation 1:17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. That has to be one of my new favorite verses. I love that. A mere man falling down dead in fear, and he puts out his right hand and he gives him consolation. I love that. Revelation 5:1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now, I read a verse about Satan, maybe knowing about the right hand. I won't make this too dogmatic, but this is interesting. Revelation 13:16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their left hand? No, right hand, and in their foreheads. I just think that's interesting. Satan often mimics the things of God. He's going for the power to control. God controls from the right. Apparently, Satan's going for the right hand there. And then finally, we get to the right when it comes to eternal life here. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the left to the tree of life. No, the right to the tree of life. We get the right to it, okay? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean left or right, but I just found it interesting. It's the same word, and we see right significant to the things of God. Life, righteousness, salvation comes from the right. So this right-hand theology, it's laced all through Scripture. Probably the most important thing we can remember from, and I know we could go after a whole bunch of right things. There's a bunch of left things if you wanted. But the most important thing about the right thing, the right theology that we can go after, is that it is our Savior who's at the right hand of God. Salvation and power comes from the right hand of God. It's all about our Savior. Ephesians 1:19-23. And what is an exceedingly great, what is exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him the head over all things to the church, the ecclesia, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I love that. He filleth all in all. He's everything. He's our portion. So ponder this right theology. I think it has significance. I think there's a lot of archetypes. Most important, it points right to Christ and where he sits. He's our righteousness via the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, his shed blood, repentance to him, born again, born from above by the Spirit of God, walking in righteousness, which is holiness and obedience, and enduring to the end, all which Christ enables us to do. Without him, we can do nothing. But via that gospel, we get the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, and then we also live out righteousness in our own lives as fruit that we know him, as he's working in us. So ponder this right theology, talk about the right hand, and see if that's what is exemplified in your life, what you're living out, what you seek after, and what you're looking for. I hope you're looking to be one of those sheep on the right and not a goat on the left. Test yourself. And I hope this teaching was a blessing to you. This will be up in my teaching area. This will also be up at the Ecclesia gathering area. And we'll have another audio and the brothers can have some discussion on this particular teaching. Thanks for listening. God be praised.